he said, interestingly, and I know I've said this before, but it bears repeating, that it seems that God is limited by our prayer life. That God can't just move in on Satan's territory and take over. And that is why it seems he can do nothing unless someone asks him to do it. Isn't it on? Thought it was on. Yeah? Yep. Okay, no, it's on. That's how important our prayer life is. Our prayer life is one of the ways that God has given us, one of the major ways that God has given us to accomplish His will on this earth, as well as our own desires. And so I want to teach a little bit on that today and how we can develop it, increase it, and make it more effective. In Isaiah 56, verse 7, God said, "My house shall be called a house of prayer." Now, it's interesting. He didn't call it a house of miracles. He didn't call it a house of salvation. You know, he didn't call it even a house of worship. He said, "My house shall be called a house of prayer." Because prayer is the communication with God. That's Isaiah 56, verse 7. God shapes the world through the prayers of His people. In Ezekiel 22, and I hope this is a verse we all know well, verses 30 and 31, God says, "So I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found no one. Therefore, I have poured out my indignation on them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath, and I have recompensed their deeds on their own heads, says the Lord God." In the commentary, it says, "I sought very earnestly and diligently a man, anyone amongst them, the prophets, the priests, the people, that should make a wall to repair the breach and prevent further mischief. Someone to stand in the gap. But I found none." That's the heart of God, that He's looking for a reason to bless us, to be kind to us. In 2 Chronicles, again, I hope a verse very familiar. What chapter is it? That's right. And verses 14 and 15. "If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land." Boy, does our land need healing? Our land needs healing right now. Desperately, desperately, desperately. It is, I am really concerned about the next few years and where it's going to bring us. "Now my eyes," the Lord says, I'm in verse 15, it's 2 Chronicles 7, 15 right now, "my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to prayer made in this place." That's what we want. We want God to hear us. Amen. Otherwise, why bother praying? But in order for Him to do that, we must meet the conditions of verse 14. And what are the conditions? Humble ourselves, pray, seek God's face, and turn from any known sin. That's what we want to do. I mean, God even said to Jesus in, I think it's Psalm 2, somewhere around verses 7, 8, or 9. He said to me, ask of me, and what you going to do? I'll give you the nations. But you got to ask. You got to ask. You know, if he's got to ask, you and I, we got to ask. We have to ask. Jesus today, where is he? What's he doing? He's interceding for us. How do we know that? How would we know? He tells us. And where does he tell us that? Let's read it. Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews 7. It's so important for you and I to have a prayer life. It's critically important. Hebrews 7:25, latter part says, he always lives to make intercession for them. Who are them? Us here on earth. People in heaven don't need him to intercede. They're there. And the ones in hell, it's too late for. So it's for us right here on earth. So if he's interceding for us, what should we be doing? What did they do in the church in the early days? What did they do? But how often did... Oh, you know what? I'm sorry. I forgot to turn this thing on. Hopefully the other one's on. I'll turn on now. How often did they do that? Daily. They met daily. Daily. See, we've lost that because we have so many other things that are happening to us. And I honestly believe that we'll find the enemy's hand behind this when we get to heaven. That he's made us so busy, we don't have time to do that. Meet every day and pray together and talk about the Word of God together. And so because of that, we typically go from week to week to week. And during that time, unless we're self-motivated and very diligent, most don't. They don't read the Word. They don't pray every day. And so when the enemy comes after us, we just don't have a lot in our tank. But they met every day, every day, every day. And you know what? They weren't any better than us. They were the same people. They had wants and needs and difficulties and so forth. We need to pray. We need to. Revelation 5:8 talks about the golden bowls of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Our prayers go directly to God. And you and I, we're responsible to fill those bowls. We're responsible. And the key is ask of me. Ask of me. Through our prayers, we're asking God. We're asking God. We want to reach God's ear. We all have needs. Sometimes the need's urgent. Like last night. It's urgent. We want God to hear us. We want God to hear us. And we can know that if we're doing what he says, he is hearing us. If we're doing what he says. I have a quote here. I'm not quite sure who this fellow is anymore. Dr. A.J. Gordon said, you can do more than pray after you have prayed. But you can't do more than pray until you have prayed. And prayer is not simply a recital of our wants and needs and so forth. God, I want this and I'd like you to do that and so forth. I have many things, God, that I need you to do. There's a lot more to it than that. It's communing with God. It's having fellowship with God. It's connecting with God. It is expressing our heart to God and hearing his heart as well. Hearing the heart of God. What does he think? What does God want? Meaningful prayer really comes out of your spirit, but it's fueled by the fire in your heart. And we need to learn that the answer isn't always instant. And sometimes there's a pressing through. And we learn that from scriptures. Well, I'm going to look at some of them today, but some we've seen repeatedly is Daniel. How long did he pray for? Over 20 days. Why? Because there's resistance. When you and I, when we pray to God for things, the enemy does not go, oh, well, they're praying, let them be. He does everything he can to stop that prayer from coming to fruition. Everything he can. Everything he can. And if we don't understand that and we give up before, what happens? The answers don't come. And I think that there's probably a number of answers that are somewhere on their way to us, but they didn't quite make it because we gave up too soon. But prayer to God, the heart has to be fully engaged with a passion and a fire in your spirit. It says, I have to press through to God. I have to press through. Life and death. I'm not giving up till it's done. And the example actually has, or sorry, the Bible has a number of examples like this. We read in Exodus chapter 32. Let's go to Exodus 32. Now we're going to look at verses 1 to 5, 9 to 11, and 14. So Exodus 32. Okay, who'd like to read verses 1 to 5? Good and loud, please. Someone.
Now when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, people gathered together to Aaron and said to him, come, make us gods that shall go before us, for as this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. And Aaron said to them, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me. So all the people broke off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. And he received the gold from their hand and fashioned it with an engraving tool and made a molded calf. Then they said, this is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt. So when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast.
Now, how long was Moses gone? Approximately.
40 days.
40 days. 40 days. They couldn't last 40 days. That's not very long. A little over a month. Didn't get their answer in a little over a month, and they're ready to throw God into the ditch and go after their own ways. Now these folks are not special people who have no patience. These are people like us. And we need to learn from this. We need to have patience. 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 Until the answer does in fact come. Now verse 9 to 11. And the Lord said to Moses, I have seen this people. Indeed, it is a stiff-necked people. That's not a compliment. Therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them and may consume them, and I will make you a great nation. Then Moses pleaded with the Lord his God and said, why does your wrath burn hot against your people whom you brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and a mighty hand? And he goes on at the end of verse 12 to say, turn from your wrath. Verse 14 says, so the Lord relented from the harm which he said he would do to his people. Now, at first glance, it seems that God got very angry with his people. Moses interceded, and God said, okay. And for years, that's what I thought it was. That he would just, you know, God was angry. Moses said, please don't do that. And God said, well, okay. But that's not quite the way it went. And it's critical that we understand that, because here is one of the key elements of prayer, a successful prayer. Now, please understand, God got angry, Moses did intercede, and God relented. But it didn't happen in 15 minutes. It wasn't a short, please don't do that, okay, I won't. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 9. That gives us a lot of detail here of what exactly did transpire. In Deuteronomy chapter 9, and we'll pick it up in verse 13, and it's referencing, you know, Exodus 32. Furthermore, the Lord spoke to me, saying, I have seen this people, and indeed they're stiff-necked people. Let me alone, that I may destroy them and blot out their name from under heaven, and I will make you a nation mightier and greater than they. So I turned and I came down from the mountain, and we know what happened with that. And he saw what they had done. And then in verse 18, he says, I fell down before the Lord as at the first 40 days and 40 nights, and I neither ate bread nor drank water because of all your sin. See, Moses didn't just pray a pious little prayer to God and say, please, O God, spare my people and your people. Amen. And go to bed. What did he do? Now, this is the second time he's done what he's about to do. What did he do? He spent 40 days on his face. 40 days and nights. Prayer, fasting. It says he didn't drink water or eat food. But he spent 40 days praying for the people. In fact, I think it's verse 20, where it says that God was going to destroy Aaron as well. Not just the people, but Aaron as well was about to be destroyed. If Moses hadn't done that, those people would have been destroyed. See, that's the part we got to get that. If Moses had not spent 40 days and 40 nights praying, they would have been destroyed. When I read Ezekiel 22, 30 and 31, what does it say? I looked for someone to stand in the gap, but I found no one. So regardless of whether we think God really wanted to or not, he would have followed through with his words, because God does not lie. 40 days and 40 nights. And why did he do that? Because God said he was going to destroy the people. Verse 25, thus I prostrated myself before the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. I kept prostrating myself because the Lord had said he would destroy you. Wow. He's praying. His prayer saved a nation. And he kept it up until God said, okay. See, too often we quit before the answer comes. And because of that, we don't get the answer. See, we can't put God on a timetable and say, You know what? I'm going to spend the next 2 hours. Boy, that's pretty generous, 2 hours, isn't it? When's the last time you heard somebody say, I'm going to spend 2 hours in prayer? Not very often. We think that's a big deal. But God doesn't. See, God doesn't. And He is the Creator. He owns everything, including you and me. What Moses did here is he stayed in the presence of God, praying and interceding until the answer came. Until the answer came. What Daniel did is he stayed praying in the presence of God until the answer came. What you and I need to learn from this is that our timetable, I remember hearing someone say, God doesn't wear a watch. Our timetable is irrelevant. We stay in the presence of God until we have an answer. Until we have an answer. Until God speaks to us. Now, this was a man who was used to being in the presence of God too, by the way. This was not a novel experience for him. If you look at Exodus 33, verse 9, not now, but later on, you'll find that he would go into the tent of meeting, and immediately the presence of God would come on it, and he would come out, and he would be shining with God's presence. But what would have happened if Moses had stopped at 20 days? Because most people would have said, 20 days? You prayed for 20 days? Are you nuts? 20 days? We would have thought, have you ever heard anybody said they prayed for 20 days? Not very often, if you have at all. We would think that's enormous. But it wouldn't have done the job in this case. Think of Abraham in Genesis 18. Lord, if there's 10 righteous men, will you spare them? God said, sure. What happened? They got wiped out. Now how come? Sodom. Why? There weren't 10 righteous men. And Abraham stopped short. See, the Bible tells us in Matthew 7:7. Well, actually, let's read it. Matthew 7:7. See, this is going to help us in our prayer life to get answers from God where we haven't had them necessarily in the past. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will knock. And you seek and you will find, rather. Knock and it will be opened to you. Now the Greek tells us there that, what does in fact that verse say? Keep. Keep on asking, keep on knocking, you know, keep pressing through in prayer to get your answer. Keep pressing through, keep pressing through. And an example of that is in Mark chapter 7, I believe, the Syrophoenician woman. She comes to Jesus and says, you know, my daughter's demon-possessed, please help. And he first ignores her, verses 24 to 30, he ignores her and then he calls her a little dog. But she can get offended. She didn't kind of go, well, Christine and I went into the Civic Hospital one time, prayed for a man who had brain cancer. He was dying. And we were asked to go. I didn't know the fellow. And when we got to his room, we told him we were here to pray for you. He said, no. And we said, yeah, we're here to pray for your healing. He said, no, I gave God a chance and he blew it. Now that's the gospel truth. That's what you call stupidity gone to seed. Needless to say, he was dead in a couple of days. This Syrophoenician woman, she kept pressing through. She kept pressing through. Changed her approach. When one approach didn't work, she changed another. She needed a miracle from Jesus. She needed a miracle. So she kept pressing through. Kept pressing through. Kept pressing through. Kept pressing through. until she got her answer. How many of us pray till we get an answer? Now, I didn't say we get the answer. I said an answer. There's a difference. The answer is getting the result we're looking for. An answer is hearing God say something to us about it. We usually pray for a few minutes and then we move on, don't we? That's not an effective prayer life. If you want to have results, you're going to have to do what the Bible people did. Press through. Stay with God until He speaks to you. Until He talks to you. And God will talk to you. He will tell you. How do you know this? How do you know I'm telling you the truth? How do you know? Maybe I'm making it up. Where does it say it? Yeah, but do you have a New Testament one? Oh, I do. See, it's, you're right, by the way. The Psalm 91 is right. I'm being silly. John, chapter 16. What is the role of the Holy Spirit? We just talked about this a couple of weeks ago or last week. What's the role? What's He going to do? What is the Holy Spirit going to do? Louder, I can't hear you.
Remind us of all that Jesus taught us.
Okay, that's one thing. What else is He going to do?
Tell us things to come.
Teach us.
Teach us. So when we're praying to God and asking Him things, what's the Holy Spirit going to do? He's going to bring an answer. He's going to bring an answer. Because that's the role that He plays. But if we got to press through. We have to press in until you get your answer. That could take more than an hour. It could take more than a day. It could take more than a month. The examples that we have here, now these were not Spirit-filled people, so they didn't have our advantage. But it took them weeks. And it depends on the enormity of your request. There's a world of difference between, oh Lord, don't let it rain today, and please don't let, you know, Uncle Joe die of cancer. Both require a pressing through, but one is much stronger than the other. But God says you can do it. God says you can do it. You can do it. If you want to. But it's work. See, it's work to do this. It really is work. I mean, this, if it was easy, everybody'd do it. It's not easy. It's not convenient. It's work. But when you've had the breakthrough, and you have the connection, it's not so much work anymore. Because you're talking to someone that you're intimately acquainted with. But initially, the breaking through is work. It is work. That's why these people had to meet every day. Every day, every day, every day, every day, every day. And even then, they had their moments. Was it... I think it was Peter that Paul had to rebuke because he was sitting there. He wouldn't sit with the Gentiles or something. I mean, it's... We are what we are. But we can be what God wants us to be. He wants to bless you. God wants to. We don't have to talk Him into it. He wants to. And He has given us the avenue to be able to express to Him the things in our heart. Does that make sense? I have here, someone gave me, something quite interesting. I've never seen this before. Let's see. Do you know how many prayers there are in the Bible? I There are 650 prayers listed in the Bible. There are approximately 450 recorded answers to prayer in the Bible. And then it goes on to talk about a bunch of other stuff. And then it lists the prayers. Now the website for this, if you're interested, let me know and I'll send it to you. I think it says here, Herbert Lockyer's All the Prayers of the Bible. Now I didn't verify this, okay? I didn't go through them all. But I came across it and I thought it's quite interesting that someone would take the time and has done all of this. And it does go book by book and listing exactly where the prayers are. Quite interesting. God wants your prayers answered. God wants your prayers answered. Because every promise, the Bible says, every promise is through Jesus. Through Jesus. But you have an adversary who doesn't want you to get your answers. He doesn't want you to get your answers. He wants to stop you. He wants to. So Heavenly Father, please help us. Help us, O Lord, to understand that it is the desire of your heart, that we get our prayers answered. We bless you this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. We can bring the communion table over, please. Gentlemen.